It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're going to be going a little bit different direction today because this is Memorial Day weekend, and so we're going to be in Psalms 92. Psalms 92, we're going to read the first two verses. And so while you look that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street, and we're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, that'd be Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. Like to call, our phone number here is 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. And if you would like to send us an email, it would be parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. I hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. Again, this is Memorial Day weekend, and I hope in the midst of all the activities, going to ball games, possibly playing golf, camping, or boating, that you will take time to be in church today and take time to attend a memorial service in your area tomorrow. Now we're going to read Psalms 91, verses 1 and 2. Psalms 91, verses 1 and 2. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank You that we have the opportunity to come together and enjoy this time. It's wonderful, Father, that each time that we can come to the radio and listen to Your precious Word preached. And Father, on this Memorial Day weekend, I ask that we will appreciate and show our thanks to those families, to those living, and those that have lost loved ones through battle, through the wars, that we will be understanding and that we'll be thankful. And it is wonderful, Father, for us to live in a free country, but it costs. The price is very high to be free. And Father, just guide and lead us today through this study that we'll have, this time, and then through this full weekend that we can show our love and our thanks for those that have served and or are serving. Please guide and lead us now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The purpose of Memorial Day is to remember those who have died in the service of our country. It is also a time that we should remember those that are still living, that have served or are serving now in our military. We need to show our appreciation. We need to show our love. And it's an opportunity. We should do it every day, but we have set aside this day and this weekend to do so. And that's the reason that I ask that you take time. There are memorial services around the area. Almost every community has one. If not, why, please search one out and come. And so it's wonderful. They have a wonderful program that I get to attend down at Warsaw on a each year. And please, that you just, wherever you would like to come, why, please come and join them in honoring those that have died and honoring those that are serving. This text that was chosen today is a text that shows us where our strength should be and the only place that it can be. We trust in our government and in this land and the great military that we have. But if not be for God's power and His strength, we have nothing. And we are going to look at these verses of Scripture and then cover a couple other areas. And so please just listen very carefully today. He that dwelleth in secret place of the Most High And that's the first half of verse 1 of chapter 91 of Psalms. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. The blessings here that are promised are not promised to all believers. A believer is one that has come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. A believer is not one that just attends church, has joined church, or just is religious in some manner or another. A believer is one that has, by the Holy Spirit, been convicted of their sin, recognizing that they're lost and that they need a Savior, and then they call upon the Lord Jesus to save them. The Spirit of God brings us all the power and the strength we need to do just that, and that is the steps that come prior to you being saved and being saved. And so please, as we go through these verses of Scripture, and I hope that you're a regular listener to the program, and as you hear me talking about the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, that you will accept the offer that He has made. Accept the free gift of salvation that He gives, because He has given His life. Jesus has given His life for you. He has paid the debt of sin, but you need to come by faith to Him and trust in Him. And when you do, then you are a believer, a true believer. Many folks say they're Christian, but they do not have that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. They belong to a religion, or they belong to an organization, and that organization has many activities. But if you refuse, or you neglect, or you just do not understand that you need to have a personal relationship, because as we say many times here, that it is a living organism, is the body of Christ. So please, that you come by faith to the Lord Jesus, trust in Him, and enjoy that wonderful daily walk that you can have with Him. And again, the blessings here are not promised to all believers, even to all those that truly believe. But this is for those who live in a close fellowship with God. In other words, the day that you were saved, if you're saved today, you've had that, made that commitment to the Lord Jesus, you've asked Him to come into your heart and to save you. But that's about it. Maybe you're sitting in a liberal church somewhere that does not preach the gospel, and so you just continue each and every day to walk basically the way you always walked before. Well, you need to turn around. If you're truly saved, you will turn. Repent means to turn. You turn from your ways, which is the devil's ways. There's only two ways to go. You're either serving the devil and walking with him, or you're serving the Jehovah God and walking with him. And the only way that you can do that is to come by faith to Jesus and walk with him. So you need to not only be saved, but then you also need to commit your life into service to him. And those that do that, that study his word and come to Bible study and enjoy the fellowship with other true believers, those are the ones that will receive the special blessings that are offered here. Every child of God will look towards the inner sanctuary, over to the mercy seat. Now, you may not even understand what that means. If you have not studied the books of Moses, which is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, you probably don't understand what this is talking about. But what this is talking about is to the inner sanctuary, the mercy seat. You have the outer courtyard with the tabernacle, the plans that Moses received up on Mount Sinai, same time he got the Ten Commandments. And so as he comes down, you see, every time that judgment, and that's what the law did, the Ten Commandments, that judges you, condemns us to death. He also gives us grace. He shows us mercy, and that's what we have in the tabernacle. And it is a way for ourselves. It's the reason they would bring their offerings, their sacrifices. And that was a picture of the Lord Jesus as he was to come to the cross many years later. But as they would bring those offerings and sacrifices, they would it would be the different offerings that are made, and their sin offerings, and so they would come and take care of their sin. And on one day, the Day of Atonement, there was a special service took place by the high priest as he presented the blood into the Holy of Holies. We should always be looking in the Holy of Holies. You got the courtyard. We got one small room. It's 30 by the dimensions as we look at it for the length. And then it's 15 is the Holy of Holies. And so we have a room that's 30 foot by 15 foot tall by 15 foot wide, and that's the holy place. And the Holy of Holies is a 15 by 15 by 15 cube. In there is the mercy seat and the Ark of the Covenant. We should always be looking to the mercy seat because that is the dwelling place of God. So that's the picture that we have here in this verse of Scripture. And so we need to be looking towards, and every child of God will be looking towards the inner sanctuary and the mercy seat. But the problem is that many only run, only look that direction when they're in need. They do not dwell there. It's not their place of dwelling. It's just only under emergency cases. So many times we'll find when there'll be trouble, then they come to church. And maybe in your family you're the only believer, and the lost, they don't want anything to do with the Lord Jesus. But when they're in trouble, they always come to you. Well, that's kind of what it's talking about here. Many Christians act the same way. They just come when they're in need. We should be there because our love for our God and our Savior should be so great that we would desire to serve Him and to praise Him every day, all day. And so those that do that, that not just look towards there, but they dwell there, they are the ones that will receive the great blessing that's offered. We shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And we get this picture of this great cherubim and this great angel, and we're under his wings and of protection. And what a wonderful place to be. Our Lord will shield all those who dwell with him. And so please know that, yes, we many times put our trust in other things as our government and as our military. And we have, again, the greatest military in the world. But we need to realize that without the power and the strength of our God, we're nothing. And I think today we're seeing a weakening of the power of this great nation, the United States of America. And the reason we're seeing this weakening is because of the lack of churches that preach the truth today. We have many areas that it's almost like a country club type of atmosphere. We come and we watch a screen, we listen to music that should never be found in the church. We should have the old-fashioned hymns, the hymns that have a message and have power, not something that's just a repetition over and over and over again to hype yourself up. No, being a Christian is something that's rock solid. And you need to come by faith to Jesus, need to be growing each and every day. For us to commune with Him, for us to be with Him, is our safety. And that is with individuals, and that can be with this land as individuals in this land turn to God. And so first, the churches need to waken up. And of course, before the churches waken up, the families need to wake up. And before the families wake up, the men of the house, the fathers, they need to wake up. We are to be the spiritual leaders and bring people to the Lord Jesus, and especially our families. Don't let mom do it. You do it, Dad. Wake up. Take care of the business of bringing your children to the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you don't even know Jesus yourself. And so you see, it starts in the home, starts with the family, starts with a man and wife, a the wonderful family, the married family that God has placed into order. And then comes children. Then as the husband, the father, we rear those children properly, not sparing the rod. We need to discipline them. If you choose not to discipline your children, that is true child abuse. Once that's taken place, we raise our children properly, then we come to the church. And because we are grounded in the Word of God, we're not going to let some preacher come in there and preach something contrary to the truth. We're going to stand on the Word of God. And then when our church becomes strong, then we move into the community. And as leaders of the community, godly leaders, we begin to move forwards and bring this great nation back to what it should be. The protection and the strength of our nation must come through godly families. It's where it starts. Then godly churches, truth preaching, gospel preaching churches. Not some watered down thing that man has changed. Look to the truth. Look to the Word of God. When we do, we find that we will have refuge in the hour of our storms. That the communion with God will be a communion of love and of safety and security. The closer we cling to our God, the more confident we will be. But that relationship must start with a personal relationship with Jesus. That's where it must begin. Must begin. And if you will come by faith to Jesus, it'll be a great joy. Now please, begin that walk today. So when we look at this verse of Scripture, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And then verse 2, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. He is my refuge. We must speak, we must testify with the peace and the contentment of our reliance upon our God. He is our refuge, and He is also our fortress. No thing or one or person could make us safer than our God. And again, when we go forward with our God, we find that we are the ones that's kept safe. And He will keep this nation safe if we will turn back to Him. It tells us not only He is my refuge and my fortress, but my God. And the only way we can make that statement, again, is if you have a personal relationship with Jesus. You must come by faith to the Lord Jesus and trust in Him. To trust in man, you will fall. To trust in God, we will stand. Franklin Roosevelt announced on the radio of the D-Day invasion. That was on June 6th, 1944. His speech was not a speech as you would think. His speech was a prayer. I'm going to read that prayer. And I want you to listen to what and how he prayed. Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have I set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity. Lead them straight and true. Give strength to their arms, stoutness in their hearts, a steadfastness in their faith. They will need thy blessings. Their road will be long and hard, for the enemy is strong. He may hurl back our forces. Success may not come with rushing speed, but we shall return again and again. And we know that by thy grace and by thy righteousness of our cause, our sons will triumph. To hear such a message from our leaders today would be so wonderful. To hear them claim the name of Jesus and not worry about being politically correct, because you see, we live in a free country, and I can serve the God I want to serve. And I know that the true God, Jehovah, the only true God, is the way of peace and the way of joy and the way of contentment. Many of the gods that the world today bow down to and worship are gods that bring war, killings, brutal killings. That's not the God I serve. The God I serve sent His Son, His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus, sent Him to die on the cross so that we could have our sins forgiven, so that we could live today praising Him and watching His power go before us in victory. We send our soldiers, the men and women, out across the world to keep us safe. We not only need to send them to keep us safe because the enemy wants to destroy us, but we need to send them as well with our prayers daily, praying for them, asking that God will have protective care upon them, show mercy and grace to them, and pray that they would be born again, that they would experience, under terrible circumstances, that they would experience the joy, the presence, the comfort that You give, no matter where we may be. You know, as we look through our history, we find many examples of the Word of God being brought forward. Even on the very Liberty Bell, the inscription around the crown of the lip, quote Scripture, Luke 2:24, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. That's around the crown of the Liberty Bell. But around the lip is the inscription, proclaim liberty throughout all the land and to all the inhabitants thereof, Leviticus 25:10. Our precious flag, as it today waves the stars and the stripes, it's a wonderful, wonderful picture to see. I enjoy so much watching Old Glory wave. And yet we have so many, because of the freedom they have, place that beautiful flag on the ground and show so much disgrace. And it's so sad that we have gotten to a place where folks have lost their way. And they've lost their way because of the absence of our God. Our God has not went anywhere. We have left Him. And when the stars and stripes are folded, when our precious flag, our banner is folded, it reminds us of our national motto, in God we trust. In God we trust. We enjoy looking each day, serving Him, praising Him. We wonder why that in this nation that we live in, that we have a God that is waiting for us to come. He has called us. He is waiting. We need to come. trust in Him, follow Him, and He will give us protection and strength as the psalmist has written for us, God's precious inspired word. But the question comes that I ask many times this time of the year, why does man desire to take another man's freedom away? Well, it's clear. It's because of sin and selfishness and pride and power. Again, the Liberty Bell gives the Word of God. It shows the Word of God. The Arlington National Cemetery, those stones, marble stones, on each one are either have a cross or the Star of David. This land, this country we live in, was founded, grounded upon the Word of God. Its principles, its morals, and we need to return to them. When we leave our God, we know that we will not stand as a nation. When we leave the nation of Israel, those that bless Israel will be blessed. Those that curse Israel will be cursed. If we leave Israel, if we abandon Israel, it'll be just like taking one more nail and putting in the coffin of this great country, the United States of America. There is no nation that's ever survived when God the Creator is forgotten, when Jesus our Lord and Savior is ignored. We need to preach the gospel. We need to tell folks how to be saved. Churches awaken. Once again, fathers, families, churches, communities, schools, let's stand up on the precious Word of God. Oh, we can't do that. We got separation of church and state. You got no such thing. That's man's doing. That's the old devil's trick. Pray at the school board meetings. Pray at the city council meetings. Lift up the name of Jesus. Please. We need to stand because that's the only way that we're going to save this precious country. Please. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to His precious word, the word of truth. And let's bring families back, families that father and mothers that just live together and don't get married, please, that they will make that commitment to each other. But before they make a commitment to each other, that they would make a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Begin there. And then it will move forwards. Because when you get saved, that's the problem with most churches, folks aren't saved. Can't expect them to follow the truth when they don't have the great teacher, the Holy Spirit, within their heart to lead them. They have been religious for so long that they don't even recognize that they're lost and dying and going to go to hell because they do not know Jesus as their personal Savior. Not because they do not come to this church at all. You come to this church, you could attend this church, you can join this church, you can do whatever you want to do and go straight to hell if you do not trust in Jesus as your Savior. Please, we need to look to the Word of God. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. I hope you know Jesus as your Savior. I hope on this Memorial Day that you will come to know him and walk with him. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?